Amen. Well, please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26. And our message series is on David and Saul. And today we come to the last three chapters where David spares the lives of evil men. We said chapters 24, 25, and 26 all have that same theme. Chapters 24, 25, 26, David spares the lives of evil men. Back in chapter 24, David spared Saul's life. Then last week, we looked at chapter 25, David spared Nabal's life. Now we come to chapter 26, and guess what? David spares Saul's life all over again. And in fact, you look at chapters 24 and 26, and at first they seem very similar stories, but they do have a different focus. And a couple weeks ago, when we looked at chapter 24, we saw that the focus of chapter 24 was on returning good for evil. We come to chapter 26. The focus here is a little different. The focus here is on leaving it up to God, putting it into God's hands and leaving it there. And then in between those two chapters, we had chapter 25. In chapter 25, David learned from his dealings with Nabal, David learned not to be rash, not to be impulsive, not to try to take things into his own hands. And that's exactly the lesson he needed to learn for this week in chapter 26. Isn't it amazing how God's word all works together? So in 1 Samuel 26, we're going to be looking at the whole chapter in the course of the message. But to get us started, we'll just look at verses 7 through 11. So please stand with me at this time for the reading of God's word, 1 Samuel 26, beginning at verse 7. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul, lying asleep inside the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't strike him twice." But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" "As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head, and let's go." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we continue to study your word and these chapters on how we deal with people who've dealt badly with us, Lord, we need your help. We need your help to understand these verses, and even more, we need your help to apply them. So, Lord, speak your word to our hearts and our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, when we last left David and Saul, right, the continuing saga, when we last left David and Saul in chapter 24, David had just spared Saul's life. And in return, Saul had promised David, "I'm not going to pursue you any longer. I'm not going to be a danger to you any longer." But unfortunately, as it turns out, and we even speculate this was going to happen, it was only a momentary repentance on Saul's part. Because when we get to chapter 26 now, just two chapters later, Saul's back to hunting David again, right? And you would think this would give David even more reason, right, to take revenge on his enemy. You know, Saul going back on his word to David. But David has learned some important lessons from his near disaster last week, right, with Nabal in chapter 25. There is a decision that each one of us needs to make when it comes to personal revenge, when it comes to getting back at people who've done us wrong. Will I leave it up to God, or am I going to take things into my own hands? David has a brand new attitude now when it comes to revenge, and we can learn from his attitude. Whenever you're tempted to take things into your own hands, leave it up to God instead. Instead of seeking personal revenge, you should leave it up to God by demonstrating trust in three very important areas, three areas of trust. Now, there's an outline in your bulletin of today's message, if you'd like to take that out to follow along or maybe even jot some notes down. But you'll find all three areas of trust right there in your outline. Number one, trust God to make things right. He can do that. Trust God to make things right. Number two, trust God to protect you. And then number three, trust God to reward you. And in our passage today here in chapter 26, we're going to find David demonstrating all three of those areas of trust when it comes to his relationship with King Saul. So how do you leave things up with God? First, trust God to make things right. Trust God to make things right. That means you need to watch out for temptation, and you need to remember it's God's job to decide. Not your job, not mine. It's God's job to decide. Now, you need to watch out for temptation because you can't trust God to make things right if you insist on doing things wrong. Right? Doesn't make sense. You can't trust God to make things right if you insist on doing things wrong. And that's what we see here now as we come into chapter 26, verses 1 through 7, watching out for temptation. The Ziphites, do you remember them? They're the ones who ratted David out in chapter 24. Well, they're back at it again. The Ziphites went to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hakilah, which faces Jeshimon?" So Saul went down to the desert of Ziph with his 3,000 chosen men of Israel. We've seen them before, too. That's his, you know, crack military elite unit, right? You know, they're ready for this. His 3,000 chosen men to search for David. And Saul made his camp beside the road on the hill of Hakilah, facing Jeshimon. But David stayed in the desert. And when David saw that Saul had followed him there, he sent out scouts and learned that Saul had definitely arrived. And then David set out and went to the place where Saul had camped. And he saw where Saul and Abner, son of Ner, the commander of the army, had lain down. And Saul was lying inside the camp with the army encamped around him. And David then asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, "Who will go down into the camp with me to Saul?" "I'll go with you," said Abishai. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Now you read these verses. This passage right here is full of temptations, isn't it? First, it's a temptation to Saul. Saul had promised David. He made a solemn oath, "I'm going to leave you alone." But then the Ziphites come along, right? Those pesky Ziphites. They come along and they go, "Hey, we know where David is again. Oh, there's a temptation, isn't it? The temptation's too great." So Saul's back to his old tricks again, and he's off pursuing David in the wilderness. But David also faces temptations in this passage. David learns that Saul is back. He scouts out the area. He secretly approaches the camp. He sees where King Saul and where Abner, the commander of the army, he sees where they're sleeping in the middle of the camp. And David decides to go down into the enemy camp. And Abishai volunteers to go with him. Now, Abishai is an interesting character. He's David's nephew. And Abishai is actually one of three brothers, okay? You got Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. And all three of them, they're sons of David's sister, Zeruiah. And all three of these brothers are all going to have a much bigger part to play when you get to the book of 2 Samuel. In fact, in the book of 2 Samuel, there's a phrase, the sons of Zeruiah, that comes up again and again. It's usually David's in frustration. He goes, "These sons of Zeruiah, they're too much for me." Because they're all bloodthirsty. They're all out for blood all the time. And he's like, "I just can't handle them. They're too much for me." The sons of Zeruiah. Well, Abishai is one of the sons of Zeruiah. And David and Abishai, they sneak through the sleeping soldiers. They're tiptoeing through the camp, right? And they come to Saul. He's lying asleep there. And he, very ominously, right, the spear is stuck in the ground right next to his head of all places. And so David, he has now yet another opportunity to kill his enemy Saul, who's trying to kill him. And now Saul lies defenseless before him. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why David did this even. Why did he decide to sneak into the enemy camp at night? Why make that risk? But whatever his motivations, now that he's there and he's standing before a sleeping Saul with a spear stuck in the ground right by his head, David is definitely facing a new temptation. It would be so easy for him to kill Saul right there and just be done with it all, right? See, part of trusting God to make things right is you got to watch out. You got to watch out for temptation. This is what Jesus told his disciples, right? Matthew 26, 41. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And once again, you cannot trust God to make things right if you insist on doing things wrong. When it comes to seeking personal revenge, the Bible says, hey, watch out for temptation. It's always going to be there. That's going to be our first instinct. You need to watch out for temptation, and you need to remember it's God's job to decide. It's not your job, not mine. It's God's job to decide. Back to 1 Samuel now, verses 8 to 11. Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't strike him twice. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, David said, the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now, get the spear and the water jug that are near his head, and let's go. And so Abishai here, he asked David for permission. Remember, he's one of the sons of Zeruiah, very bloodthirsty family here. He says, yeah, let me kill him right now. David says, no, and he gives him two reasons. He says, first of all, he's the anointed. Saul is the Lord's anointed king. He says, you can't do that without incurring sin and guilt on yourself. And then the second reason David gives him, he says, God will take care of it. He says, God will strike him down when he's ready. He says, either Saul's time will come and he'll die of natural causes. That's in God's hands. Or maybe Saul's going to go into battle and perish in battle. That's in God's hands. But David knows God made Saul king, and it's God's job to decide how and when he will remove Saul from office. You see, David has learned from what we saw last week with Nabal in chapter 25. David has learned from that whole incident to trust God with the timing and the details. It would not only be wrong to kill Saul, David knew that back in chapter 24, right? He said, no, we can't harm the Lord's anointed. He already knew it was wrong. But now through chapter 25, David's learned it's actually unnecessary. He doesn't have to do anything at all. God's going to take care of it. It's God's job. God's got this. And so David's learned from his whole episode with Nabal, and this time he says, you know what? I'm not going to take it into my hands. I'm going to leave it up to God. It's God's job to decide. So they grab Saul's spear and their water jug. They sneak out of the camp again. And I'm sure Abishai was so frustrated with this decision. It's like, he's right there. I mean, Abishai was so convinced that God had given them this opportunity to kill Saul, not to show mercy to him. Now, I imagine Abishai probably got a T-shirt printed up when this was all done. And the T-shirt said this, I snuck into the enemy's camp, and all I got was this lousy spear and a water jug. Right? You know? I mean, yeah, he's going to be so frustrated. But David is absolutely right here. Remember when we studied chapter 24 a couple weeks ago, we looked at Romans 12 and verse 19, which says this. It says, do not take revenge, my friend. But leave room for God, for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. In other words, God's saying, it's my job. It's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And so you leave room for God's wrath. You leave room for God to work. You leave it up to God. So how do you leave it up to God? Our first point, trust God to make things right. You trust God to make things right. Watch out for temptation. Remember, it's God's job to decide. Not yours. Secondly, trust God to protect you. Trust God to protect you. And there are two things we see here. Trust in God, not people, and commit your way to the Lord. We see both of these with David's actions here. First of all, make sure you trust in God, not people. 1 Samuel 26, picking up in verse 12. So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did anyone wake up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. Then David crossed over to the other side, stood on top of the hill some distance away. There was a wide space between them. He called out to the army and to Abner, son of Ner, "Aren't you going to answer me, Abner?" And Abner replied, "Who are you who calls to the king?" David said, "You're a man, aren't you? And who is like you in Israel? Why didn't you guard your lord the king? Someone came to destroy your lord the king. What you have done is not good. As surely as the Lord lives, you and your men deserve to die, because you did not guard your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and water jug that were near his head?" Of course, David has them. They took the spear and the water jug. He and Abishai left the camp together, and they snuck out of the camp. And they make it in and out of the camp without waking anyone up. Not because they're like these expert cat burglars or expert camp invaders or anything like that. No, why do they make it in and out? Because God is watching out for them. God is protecting them. See, you need to trust God to protect you. God is the one who's put the soldiers into a deep sleep. That's why no one wakes up. And once they're safely out of the camp, David calls out to the army, and especially to Abner, because he's the commander. And he rebukes Abner for not watching out for Saul. And he directs Abner's attention to the missing spear and the water jug that have been right next to Saul's head. And the point here is you need to trust God, not people. Think about it. Think about what just happened here. David and Abishai were all alone in the midst of 3,000 enemy soldiers. And yet they were perfectly safe. Why? Because God was protecting them. On the other hand, Saul was being protected by Abner and 3,000 soldiers, and he was completely defenseless. Psalm 146 says this, verses 3 and 4, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing." What's Psalm 146 saying? People will let you down, but God will never forsake you. Trust in God, not people. Trust in God and then commit your way to the Lord. Very important. We see how David does this now in verses 17 to 21. Saul recognized David's voice. He said, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" David replied, "Yes, it is, my lord the king." And then David added, "Why is my lord pursuing his servant? What have I done wrong? What wrong am I guilty of? Now let my lord the king listen to his servant's words. If the Lord," so David's saying, if it's God, okay, "if the Lord has incited you against me, then may he accept an offering. If, however, men have done it, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have now driven me from my share in the Lord's inheritance. They've said, 'Go serve other gods.' Now do not let my blood fall to the ground far from the presence of the Lord. The king of Israel has come out to look for a flea, as one hunts a partridge in the mountains." And then Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David, my son. Because you considered my life precious today, I will not try to harm you again. Surely I have acted like a fool and have erred greatly." So Saul recognizes David's voice. He calls out to him. And David responds by committing his way to the Lord. In other words, David says, "God, I'm going to put myself in your hands." And he says to Saul, he says, "Hey, if God's behind this, if God has incited you to come after me, then I must have done something wrong. If that's what's going on here, then I confess that. I'll make an offering to God. I'm putting myself in God's hands. If God's behind this, okay. But if men have done it, if they're inciting you," it says, "may they be cursed before the Lord." Once again, he puts himself in God's hands. He says, "I'm going to let God take care of them." David says, "They've driven me away from my inheritance. They're encouraging me to serve other gods." And the Lord's inheritance here really refers to the covenant community that was living in Israel. You see, David has been driven from his people, and he's been driven from the land. And he's been driven to other lands, foreign lands, where he could have been tempted to serve foreign gods. David says, "Hey, either God's told you to come after me, Saul, or wicked men have done it." But either way, David commits his way to the Lord and puts himself in God's hand. Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6 says this, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this." This is what God will do for you. When you commit your way to him, when you put your trust in him, God will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the sun, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. That's what David was going to trust God to do for him. So you want to leave it up to God? Then that second point there is you trust God to protect you. Make sure you're trusting in God, not people, and then commit your way to the Lord. We leave it up to God by you trust God to make things right, you trust God to protect you, and then number three, trust God to reward you. Trust God to reward you. The Bible tells us God rewards all those who do right. And this should be an encouragement to us. God tells us of these rewards and gives us these rewards to encourage us and to help us to choose the right thing. Back to 1 Samuel 26, we pick it up now in verse 22. "Here is the king's spear," David answered. "Let one of your young men come over and get it. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. The Lord delivered you into my hands today, but I would not lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. As surely as I valued your life today, so may the Lord value my life and deliver me from all trouble." So for the second time, Saul repents of his sin. He promises David, "I'm not going to harm you again." David says, "Why don't you just send one of your young men over to get the spear?" David's still not completely trusting Saul here. And we mentioned that back in chapter 24. Even though we return good for evil, even though we leave it up to God, we don't leave ourselves in a dangerous or abusive situation. You get out of that situation. He says, "Why don't you send one of your young men over to get the spear?" And then David proclaims that the Lord, it's the Lord who rewards every man for his righteousness and faithfulness. And what has David been? David has been righteous. He's been faithful in not laying a hand on the Lord's anointed. And as surely as David valued Saul's life today, David expects God to reward him. He expects God to value his own life and deliver him from trouble. Because God rewards all those who do right. We read from Hebrews chapter 6 earlier today, Hebrews 6:10 says, "God is not unjust. God will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them." God rewards all those who do right, and God can make even your enemies be at peace with you. Now, for some of us, this is going to be a real faith stretcher for us today. Some of us, you know, as we've been going through this message, you have a person in your mind right now, a person who's been a thorn in your side, a person who's just made life very difficult for you, a person that's very difficult to forgive them. And you might be saying, "Well, you don't know this person I'm dealing with. There's no way they can be at peace with me." God can make even your enemies be at peace with you. Look at verse 25, last verse of the chapter. "Then Saul said to David," this is Saul who's been hunting David, pursuing David, who went back in his word the first time, came after him again. "Then Saul said to David, 'May you be blessed, my son David. You will do great things and surely triumph.' So David went on his way, and Saul returned home." Saul gets the last word here, and it's a good word. Speaks words of peace and blessing upon David. David goes his way, Saul goes back home. This is the very last time in the scriptures we read, this is the very last time that David and Saul meet. We will not find them in the same area, speaking with each other, meeting each other again. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says this, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." God can do it. God rewards all those who do right, and God can make even your enemies be at peace with you. How do you leave it up to God? You need to demonstrate trust. Trust in these three very important areas. Number one, trust God to make things right. He can do it. Trust God to protect you. He will. Trust God to reward you. He has promised. When we take matters into our own hands, you know what we're doing? we're showing that we don't really trust God. We think we can do a better job than God can do. We try to do God's job for him. Instead of saying, God's got this, we say, it's okay, God, I've got this. Bad words, okay? You don't want to go there. We try to do God's job for him. We forfeit God's protection in our life, and we lose out on our reward. And we also prolong the conflict, and we miss out on the opportunity for God to make our enemies live at peace with us. When that temptation comes along, watch out for that temptation. When you're tempted to seek personal revenge, when you're tempted to take it into your own hands and to get back at that person, the message from 1 Samuel 26 is clear. You leave it up to God instead. In fact, that is a good rule for all of life, isn't it? Not just personal revenge, but in all of life. Leave it up to God. Trust him. Trust him with your salvation. Trust him with your family. Trust him with your future. Trust him with your work. Trust him with your day. Romans 8:32 tells us this: he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? In other words, God sent Jesus to die on the cross for you, to die for your sins. I think you can trust him with everything else as well. Now, there's a great sign that some people post at work, or they put up on their refrigerator to see each morning when they get up. You've probably seen it before. If not, you might want to get a copy and put it on your refrigerator too. But it goes like this: good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help. So relax and have a great day. Isn't that a cool sign? I like that. Folks, God is sovereign. God is in control. God is large and in charge. And life goes better when you leave it up to God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for these three chapters in 1 Samuel. They've been dealing with personal revenge and getting back at people. And Lord, I just pray for each one of us here. I imagine here today, each of us is thinking of somebody who's done us wrong, somebody who's been so unfair to us, just so cruel or mean. It's just so unjustified. And Lord, we don't understand it. And Lord, yes, there is a temptation to strike back. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take what we've learned from chapters 24 and 25 and 26 and from David's experiences. Lord, you've given these experiences to us to learn from them. Help us to learn to return good for evil. Help us to learn not to be impulsive or rash and try to take things into our own hands. Help us to learn to leave it up to you, God. You can handle it all. You're big enough for the job. We're not. Help us, God, I pray, with all of these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.